Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night tonight. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for what you're going to do tonight in us, Lord. You know, Lord, we don't trust in man. We trust in you. We put all our trust in you. But we are anxious to see if, you know, when you ask us to pray for certain things and we pray for them, that they come to pass, and they do. You've had us pray for President Trump for quite a while. We've been doing it. I know you have a reason and a purpose for it. And we thank you, Lord, that you are using this man here to set this country free for a little short period of time. And Father, we just thank you for the work you're doing in him also, that you would bring him to you in a mighty way. We had you gave us a vision the other night, or a dream, I don't remember which, of him saying, I can't trust anybody around me. Who do I trust? And then he turns and he puts his head in his hands and he said, Lord, I can trust you. Show me how to trust you, Lord. And Lord, and that was the end of it. So we're just believing, Father, that you are going to work in him a mighty thing. And we just praise you for it, Father, for the work you're going to do in him and the work you're going to do around him also. And Father, we thank you for a little more time here to get this refuge ready for your people when they get ready to come in. And we thank you, Lord, for this fellowship tonight. Lord, we ask for that your anointing be on all of us tonight, Lord, that we would have nothing but you on our minds and on our mouths, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in us, because we can't do anything for ourselves. We just have to rely on you by faith, and you give us the faith to do it. That's an awesome, awesome place to be in, is to rest in you, Lord. And to trust you for everything. Even when it seems like all hell breaking loose around us, Lord, we can always put our trust in you and know that you're going to bring us through it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a glorious time tonight, because our mind and our eyes are on you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, we got a full crew here tonight already.
Hey, Michael. Hey, before we do any prayers, you'll see a new name on there, Joy. That's Debbie's sister from Marble Hill, Missouri. It's down the southeastern part of the state. She's been down in Tennessee visiting. She was down here a couple of days. But anyway, so that's who Joy is. So welcome, Joy, and Lord bless you.
And we have a prayer request.
We beat you to it, Denny. We've already introduced ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember Joy.
Sorry, Joy. We have a prayer request too.
Okay.
Our daughter, oldest, she has a pacemaker. She's had a few problems. She has diabetes, I guess, pretty bad, because the pacemaker. We had to be put in, I think this is a third time. And now it's not healing up in one end. It was put in a few weeks ago. It's not healing up, so the incision. So she's got to go in tomorrow morning. They got to remove it, go in there and clean out the pacemaker and clean out the pocket where they remove it and put another one back in. They're going to staple it up. And I pray with her on the phone, and totally we'd be praying for her tonight for that. And coming against that diabetes in her and praying that she'll get the faith to believe God for healing.
Thank you, faith. Thank you, Jesus.
And then her husband, our son-in-law, is having a root canal tomorrow. I'd like to pray for him for that.
So. Amen.
So, Lord, thank you, Father, that you're going to be with Kim tomorrow and the doctors, Lord, and taking care of her with this pacemaker, Lord. We just stand against all these troubles and physical problems in Jesus' name. Pray, Father, that you minister faith to her, Father, a desire to just run back to you, God, and put all her trust in you, Father. and the work at the cross you've done for her. She'll have faith to realize she has healing by her stripes, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you, Father, for the work you can do in her. Use this for her to cry out to you, God. Minister to her tonight and tomorrow and be with her and give her peace, Lord. In Jesus' name. And we pray for David and this root canal, that you would give him peace too, Father, that will turn out all right, no other complications, God, because sometimes they can be that way. So, Lord, just thank you it's going to go smoothly, Lord. And I pray you'll bring him to a place to cry out to you too, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe with you, Lord. We hook our faith up with them, and we just believe, Lord, that both of them are going to be taken care of because you're a good God. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Hey, iPad Judy. Hi, Sue. Anybody else got a testimony or a prayer report? Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
I'd like to get a prayer for my younger sister. She's in Pennsylvania. And just about all her life, she's had all kinds of physical difficulties. She, very young, was diagnosed with scoliosis and had to wear one of those braces that goes from the hips up to underneath the chin, if you've ever seen those. And she's had trouble with asthma and all kinds of lung issues.
Anorexia.
She's had have a stent and some other things done for heart problems. And her she sent us an email yesterday and said that she's having stomach problems, and the only thing she can keep down is Jell-O. And we're highly concerned about her. She's going to go to the doctor later this week or something. Later this week to get, you know, checked out. They're going to do some kind of procedure to check out, you know, her insides. And I'd like to have prayer for my sister, Susan.
Okay. Is she a Christian, Barry?
She's a staunch Catholic.
Okay.
And that's, you know what that gets you.
Yeah. I don't get much. Don't get hardly anything, if anything. Lord, what's her name?
Susan.
Susan?
Yeah.
All right. Lord, we lift up Susan to you. Lord, you know how to get through to them old thick skulls that Catholics have sometimes. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you mow through all of that junk and just give her reality check that her religion is not helping her one iota. And Father, we thank you that you're going to open up her eyes to receive the truth of the gospel. And we ask, Lord, that you grant repentance to her and heal her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all. This is going to be a miracle that you're going to do for her. We ask that and we pray that in the name of Jesus, that you open up her eyes to see that this Catholic religion hasn't brought her anything but pain and heartache and anguish and sickness. And she's got a spirit of infirmity on her, Lord. And I just ask and I pray that you place it in Barry and Marilyn's heart to rest in the knowledge that you are working in her. Don't make any difference what you hear. Don't make any difference what you see. That Susan is coming into the kingdom. And it don't make any difference if it's on her deathbed, as long as she makes it into the kingdom. And Father, we thank you that not only are you going to open her eyes to the truth, you're going to heal her too. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now put us in the rest, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you when we pray and we believe our prayers that you're going to act, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
I do. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, iPad Judy fixing to bless us here. Come on, gal.
Okay, this is a great testimony, too.
All right, you're going to have to turn your volume up a little bit.
I can hear. I've been praying. Well, I went to Indiana over the end of December.
Turn your volume.
Oh, I think it. Wait a minute. Okay.
That's better. That's better.
Okay. Well, I went to Indiana over the end of December, and when I came home, I thought my ears were plugged up from the airplane. I didn't really know what they were plugged up from, but I just believe the Lord's going to, you know, heal them, and or the Lord did heal them, and I was going to be fine. So I just was working, you know, I was resting in the Lord, not working, resting in the Lord. And well, I wear hearing aids, and they were ringing, and they were, you know, that was kind of loud for everybody. So I thought, well, I'm just going to get these hearing aids fixed so that they will not buzz and bother everybody. So I went there today just to the hearing aid place, but he looked in my ears, and my ears had lots and lots of wax in there. He said he couldn't believe how much wax was in there. So I'm believing the Lord sent me there, because I didn't want the buzzing to bother people so much, but it was a simple thing like wax. I know the Lord removed it, him, you know, could have done it without the guy that took the wax out, but I just believe that he used him as an instrument, and I give God all the glory that he's only has half of the wax out. I have to go back Thursday, and he's going to take the rest out, but oh man, it's so much better. Boy, I really thought about people that don't hear. I mean, that is really hard, and so I give the Lord all the praise that I can hear so much better than I did before. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing Judy.
Yes,
thank you, Lord. Yeah, now I won't have to get that amplifier and talk to you.
Yeah, you don't have to heal it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Testimony, praise report, song, whatever. Hey, Barbara. Good to have you on tonight, girl. All right.
Hi.
Hey, girl. What'd you do with Missy?
I don't know. I hope I didn't wear her out.
Is she on the way home or something?
No, she's coming tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
She was taking her son to back to college.
Oh, I got you.
He's just not back yet.
Yeah. All right. All right, anybody else?
Need to lift up a cousin in Georgia. It's a young man. He's 15. I think his name is Joseph Manning. I've never met him, but I'm closer to the older generation down there now. But this young boy fell out of a barn, and he's been on life support. They might be making decisions on him and just asking for prayer. So I want to lift up Joseph to you, Lord, and we thank you that with you, nothing is impossible, that you've paid for his healing, and it is nothing for you to raise that young man up and get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was muted. What's his name, George?
Joseph Manning. M-A-N-N-I-N-G.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for raising that boy up. Let him be a testimony to your grace and your mercy upon him, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Judy, you going to say something? Oh, I can't hear you with the thing muted. What are you talking about? Okay. All
right. I just wanted to see who on.
What's that?
I was looking to see who all was on the call.
Oh, okay. I wanted to read a word from the Lord here from Byron Searle for January the 6th. And he references Psalm 18, 29 through 30. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Amen. Okay, here's the transcript of the word from the Lord. My son, the people cry for a wall on the southern border of this great nation, thinking this wall will protect them. Do they not know that I am is their protection as long as my hand covers them? Thus saith the Lord, my hand has lifted, and you are building a wall on the wrong border. The enemy at the gate will come from the north. And as I said before, the south is but a distraction. Your enemies have seen the weakness of the people in this nation. They laugh when the people do not even know what gender they are. This nation has become an hissing and an embarrassment to the world. The king that is in power is a great deceiver, fooling even the very elect to believe a lie. I gave you what you asked for, a man who you worship and who you think will save you. My son, I am, will soon visit this nation with judgments meant to wake up my deceived and blind people. The wall that is meant to keep them out will eventually be a wall to keep you in when the enemies of Russia and China move in to take the spoil. Have the people in this nation not considered that? The land will shake violently, and the people will not be able to stand. Volcanoes will erupt, blocking out the sun, and then the bombs will fall. The way to the north will be blocked by the enemy, and the wall to the south will block the escape. Many millions will perish. Bloodshed will be everywhere. People in this nation will bear arms, but will be defeated easily, for the weapons of the enemy are far greater. My son, hear the people cheer for a king and a wall, but they're cheering their own fate. Thus saith the Lord, during this time when fear is running rampant, my remnant will stand and go forth in righteousness. My mighty army will have no fear, for they know I am with them. Their weapons are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. No weapon formed shall hurt my remnant. Be ready, my children, for all this is at the door and ready to strike. Seek me for salvation. Repent of your sins and kneel before me. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I love you. Be ready now, for I am coming soon. Jesus. Pretty sobering words. That's what's happened to this nation. They've gotten a patriotic spirit that most of the denominational churches have gotten a patriotic spirit in them. And they're believing everything that Trump is going on. At best, Trump is just being used of God. God had told us early on that he was going to use Trump to give us 3 years or so of relative peace as far as Christians go. But when we put a man up as an idol, sometimes we renege that, don't we? So, but anyway, that's from Byron Searles. That's his latest one. Has anybody got any comments? We're going to trust the Lord, aren't we? We're going to sit back and just trust him. I am anyway. All right. Anybody got any comments on this or anything? That's why the Lord wants us ready before all this starts. He wants us to exercise our faith before all of this trouble starts. If you exercise your faith now and you believe what the Word says now about your promises that God's given you, then you're not going to have any problems when the time comes, when the action hits the fan, so to speak. And it will. That's why he wants us to start, you know, to go into this thing with faith already behind us. We already know how to speak faith and to rest in the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Anybody want to say anything? Anybody got any comments to say?
How do you spell his last name?
BR549, Don. No. His last name is Searle.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Byron, BYRON.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Earls. He's got a website and all of those are already down there. Thank you, Lord. Okay, somebody say something. Somebody got something on their mind they want to talk about. Now, come on. Because I've been busy all day.
Yeah. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Denny.
I know in the morning meetings over the last, several months, we've been getting verses about the, you know, in the scriptures about when the enemy does come from the north.
Yep.
So when they came, Babylon came down from the north. Different ones always, when they came down, the prophets spoke and said that an enemy would come from the north. And, you know, you ponder all that and you really wonder what's God saying for today? How's he applying? Is he applying it to us? And so it's something for us to really be praying about. And so, you know, maybe he's actually letting us know, even in our nation here, that the enemy is going to come from the north.
Yeah, I don't believe those words that we've gotten are just out there for the last day, the very last day. I'm thinking this is something that's going to happen beforehand. Yeah. What do you think, Don? I see you unmuted. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I just got a book out to look up Cyrus. I had read in Will Durant's first volume that he died in the hands of a small tribe at the bottom, at the southern tip of the name slips my mind. That big sea, it's just north of Iran. So that's where he was killed, by that small tribe.
But what was the name of the tribe?
I never heard of it before, just some small tribe. So I was just looking it up just to see how long he was the king of Persia, of Medo-Persia.
I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can look that up. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Judy.
I just read the headline. It just said that China was inching closer and closer in their war boats, and that they could strike DC where they are right now with a bomb. That, you know, the closer they get, the easier it is to get the United States. So there's something about they were going to target Taiwan and then maybe the United States.
How are they getting closer?
In their boats on the water,
the ships.
They're moving in wherever they're at. I'm not sure where they're at. They're just moving closer and closer so that they can just take a bomb and hit DC pretty easily with one shot. Again, I didn't read the full thing, so I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I know that we have a lot of aircraft carriers in port now. Let's see. Sunil says, Cyrus met his fate in a fierce battle with the Masajital, a tribe from the southern deserts of Khwarezm. Oh, that just nailed it for me. I know exactly where that is. Kizil Kum in the southernmost portion of the steppe regions of modern-day Kazakhstan. At Uzbekistan, following the advice of Croesus to attack them in their own territory. The Masajital were related to the Scythians in their dress and mode of living. They fought on horseback and on foot. In order to acquire her realm, Cyrus first sent an offer of marriage to their ruler, the Empress Tamiris, and a proposal she rejected. Boy, don't ever get a woman mad at you. I'm telling you the truth. That one there, that's news to me. I don't know, but okay. So he died in battle from this fierce tribe of the Masajital, southern deserts of Khwarezm and Kizil Kum. Yeah, okay, where that is. Y'all know where that is, don't you? Amen. Well, how long after he started helping out with the temple did he die, I wonder? Does anybody know?
I wonder if that woman related to Hillary.
Probably. He's a fighter, boy. I don't know. She got to be a. Well, I ain't going to say no more. Thank you, Jesus. What are you laughing at, Don? Oh, my. I don't know. I don't know. Cyrus had a job to perform for the Lord, and then when he was through, he took him. May be the same way here. I don't know. All right. Anybody else? Malcolm, you got anything on that?
My brilliance surpasses my beauty, I think.
Well, let's hear something.
No, I don't. I've been I've been looking at a conference that was a couple day conference on a bunch of presentations on Daniel 11. I really haven't studied it much myself, so, but it seems to be a lot there. But anyway.
Okay.
Interesting. King of the North, people have been, King of the South, King of the North, people have been duking it out for centuries on that one.
Yep. Well, just like Benny was talking about, we've had a lot of word from invasion from the North in the morning meetings here about the last couple of weeks.
That'd be very interesting if, of course, Daniel was written to in a Jewish context to the Jews. It'd be interesting if there was a somewhat of a parallel to the United States, and if maybe there's some relationship to the King of the North, or although Russia and China aren't King of the North, unless, you know, I mean, if they invaded from there, they still wouldn't be King of, I don't know. They're like the other side of the world.
Yep. Well, I think as a type and a shadow, they would be a northern country.
Yeah, if you keep going north, you'd hit probably both of them.
Yeah,
but you'd have, that's true. It'd eventually go south.
Yeah.
But you know, if the Earth tilts, you know, still could be north. I'm just joshing. Okay.
Could be. Well, I hope it tilts that. Or I hope it tilts back the other way, tilt them up closer to the North Pole.
Oh my!
Push us back down toward the equator.
Equator. Nice. Yeah. Keep that 80-90 awesome. Degree temperature, yeah, there in your.
Thank place. You, Jesus. Palm trees in Tennessee. Amen. Coconut trees and all.
Sandy beaches. Drinking rum? Yeah. No, let's not go there.
What you talking about? Pineapple plants? Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else got something they want to talk about?
Well, I thought maybe the magnetic north was racing towards Russia, right? That's what I thought. That's why we're, for a while, I don't know if that's still happening or not.
Yeah, the north is moving. The world is moving, tilting from north to south on our side. And it's something like, I believe the Eskimos said something like 63 feet a month.
I mean, it's headed towards Russia.
No, it's headed this way, headed south.
Magnetic field is?
Oh, magnetic north? I don't know.
I thought magnetic north was headed towards Russia.
But yes, it probably would. Yeah, it probably would. That would make sense. Magnetic north ain't going to move. It's going to be in the same place. If the world moves, it's going to stay. I guess that's the way it works. Is that right?
Hmm.
I do know that the Eskimos up in the Arctic have complained that it's hard for them to navigate by stars anymore because they're not in the same position. They've all moved. They move all the time, they say. So, I don't know. I'm not up there, praise God. I wouldn't know if it moved or not. I don't look at the stars. Well, it's hard for us to see stars though, through all this chemtrail stuff that we've been getting.
Well, we know they use it for navigation.
Yeah, they used to.
And now they have a hard time navigating because the stars have changed in the sky.
Yeah, yeah. They do. They're having a terrible time.
I can't remember what tribe it was that was doing that. They interviewed a tribe.
As an Eskimo. Is there different types of Eskimo
tribes? Well, I just like to get tribes like anywhere else, you know. So.
Okay.
Different family groups, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the story up there.
But they also say the wind patterns have changed, which makes the
snow pile up in the wrong place.
Yeah, the waves and the snow are different. They used to be able to navigate by the waves in the snow from the wind, and it's different. So if they get away from them, they have a harder time finding their way back.
Well, it's definitely changed where I'm at, because we haven't had hardly any snow at all yet this year. We've had a little.
Praising God, Dave.
Well, it's just, you know, I grew up, there was nothing but snow. Now there isn't any.
Really?
I mean, we're talking straight. There's a difference. I mean, the other day, I came home out of work. There was a kid on a skateboard in a short-sleeve shirt in December. That was crazy. It was like, you know, it used to be, yeah, you'd see teenagers pushing the edge, but it was warm enough that he was out there in a short-sleeve shirt on a skateboard downtown. Sun was out. People were everywhere. You didn't see that stuff when I grew up. It was winter. Now it's people are up and about just like it's just a cool day. No big deal.
Yeah, it got up in the 60s here today. It was nice, man. I went walking. It was really nice.
So this all comes, and we're talking about the invasion from the north. So, you know, I'm waiting for to find out more about when Planet X. Where is that going? Where is that? You know, where's this all coming in the mix too, you know?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Planet X in months. So I don't know.
Well, we got up to the 20s today, the high 20s.
Well, I feel your pain, brother.
is that warm or cold where you're at? I don't know.
Well, it seems cold to me. You got the fire cranked up and it's the wind from the north. I think the kings of the north are blowing on us.
Amen.
David.
Word. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. Excuse me, I'm interrupting.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. David, I'm just reminded of 131 going into Grand Rapids, that big sign. What is it? Jesus Saves, that huge sign. What is it? About 40 feet wide. That's been there all my life. Of course, it's been changed a number of times. But years ago, a friend of mine went up to from Kalamazoo to Grand Rapids with a non-Christian friend. And that non-Christian friend saw that sign. He says, maybe I ought to be thrifty too. That was a real lesson to me on if you're going to communicate with a non-Christian, communicate in a way so they understand.
Oh, I get it. A little slow there, but I got it. Pat even got that one.
Has anybody gotten a word from the Lord here recently? Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I don't know if this is so much a word from the Lord, but one of three times last week I got Hosea chapter 5 about judgment, you know, coming on God's people. But night before last, I had a real powerful dream. It was very short. And in the dream, we live in a two-story house. And Barry and I, our bedroom's upstairs. And it was nighttime and we were asleep, and we were awakened by a very, very, very strong earthquake. And in the natural, I've never been in an earthquake, but it was just shaking the whole house and the bed. And my daughter's room is downstairs right below us. And I heard her come out of her room into the hallway, and she was hollering up to us. And she said, "It's a big earthquake." And she was very alarmed. And her name is Jenny, which means God gives grace. And kind of part of what I take from that is, you know, we were in bed and we were asleep and we didn't get out of bed. So hopefully we were in the rest and we will stay in the rest. But the fact that she came out of her room, I was thinking about Jesus is the, you know, he calls his sheep out. He calls his sheep out. And I believe in these judgments that we're going to see, it's really going to get the attention of a lot of the people we've been praying for. And so anyway, I was pretty encouraged by that.
Amen. Amen. Where are y'all in Washington?
Yeah, we're in Southern Washington. And I was thinking about Brian's, you know, word there, and he mentioned an earthquake and he mentioned the volcanoes, and we're down near the Columbia River in Southern Washington, and we're surrounded by these volcanoes, Mount Hood and Mount Adams, Mount St. Helens. And I know that, honey, haven't you had dreams about those going off?
I've had at least two dreams about Mount Hood erupting. It's probably 35 miles or so as the crow flies from here. And I've had that dream at least twice, maybe three times, about it erupting in a big way. In the past, it erupted, and the lava flow went north toward the Columbia River, and it had to go, I guess, 12, 15 miles to get to the river. And there was so much flow out of the volcano, it completely went across the river, plugged the river up, and went up to a river, the White Salmon River on the Washington side. It just, you know, it's unbelievable amount of debris coming out of that volcano. So it's a for sure thing in my book that it's going to erupt in our lifetime.
Yeah, is it, when it does that, does it blow a lot of smoke out? Does it?
Yeah,
it's black.
Just about everything you can imagine. Yeah,
Mount Hood stinks to high heavens, and when I climbed it, it's the cauldron up there is just you know, the vapors coming out. It just absolutely stinks. It's kind of a nice place to stop just before you do the last part of the ascent, where it's really steep. Man, okay. It stinks up there.
Yeah, I can imagine that thing spilling out smoke like that, and it covering the sky and blackening the day, blacking out the sun if it's up. Barrett, you ain't from Washington. I know you ain't from Washington.
No, I'm not from Washington. I've been up in the Pacific Northwest for over 20 years, and my accent staying with me.
Yeah.
They tell me I've got an accent. I think they just hear funny.
Yeah. Well, they had one got an accent. You talk kind of like me, so that's why I wondered where you were from. Okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to say? Share. That's a good dream, too. That's a warming dream. That's the thing about when you get these dreams and stuff, you need to be seeking the Lord to find out if that's where he wants you. And if it is, we're going to be fine. And that goes for everybody, as a matter of fact. You need to be seeking the Lord and making sure that where you are is where you're supposed to be. And if it is, you don't have to worry about it. Amen. Okay. Anybody else got something? I'm going to try to find this thing. Yeah, Denny, go ahead.
Am I muted? Yeah. Okay. Am I on? Okay.
Yes, sir.
I was, you know, pondering about the enemy coming from the north, if it is even speaking of a, you know, north, south, east, or west type direction, or that the enemy is coming from the heavenlies. Because, you know, even to build a wall on the northern border, that, I mean, an army would just go right through that like nothing. No wall would can stop an army. But this wall down here is more or less to stop, you know, all the nasty stuff that's coming up and even the stuff, some of the stuff that's going. But, so to discerning that word, that, you know, prophetic word, is he saying something to us today, or is he talking about the time when, remember on A.A. Allen's dream about from the north, in that big cloud, and in the big cloud, it had formed like a face and a mouth, and then he looked toward the west, and he breathed out smoke, and it went all the way, I think it was first to the, was it the east coast, and blew it all the way down the east coast. He blew smoke, and then he looked to the right, and blew smoke, went down to the west coast, and then smoke right down the middle of our nation. But I think that was speaking of time when our nation will be, it might be speaking of the day of the Lord, kind of a time, you know, when our nation will be destroyed. But that was, again, coming from the north, but it seemed to be more of a spiritual attack. It could be physical, too. Maybe there's some physical things about it, whether it'll be some kind of weaponry or, you know. But anyway, just pondering that. So, I mean, what, you know, is he saying stop building the southern wall? You know, or is he saying is it something for, or maybe we need to always, as believers, keep our mind on what maybe God's saying, keep your mind directed on that north direction or that spiritual, you know, the heavenlies, the direction there to battle the enemy on that front. Let Trump and the others take care of the physical enemies down here, but we have a spiritual enemy that we have to deal with. So, amen.
I think you're muted, Michael.
Oh, man, all that good stuff I just spewed out. Good gracious. what I was saying, I don't remember what I was saying. Wasn't that important. Okay, go ahead, Willie. I know you're raising your hand there. Oh, my. All right. That address, the president fixing to come on here shortly. What I did was went to the government site, whitehouse.gov, where the live stream is fixing to start. It said, what is that, whatever that means. I'd have been saying that for an hour and a half. We're going to watch it. It's not but about 8 or 10 minutes long. Just to see what he's got to say and what we can pray for. Oh, my. Okay.
When's he coming on?
9 o'clock. My time. 9 o'clock my time. Which would be 8 o'clock your time, I guess.
No, I'm in Eastern like you guys.
Oh, okay. All right. You right on the border?
No. Maybe I am. Pretty close to it, yeah. You're right. Yep.
I know we can go about 100 miles west, and we're right on it. It changes to central. You know, I was reading this morning, and they have already got the tribunal started down in, well, the tribunals are taking place various places. Gitmo is one, South Carolina is another one, and they got a few other places that these tribunals are started already. What they're doing, they're rounding up all the pedophiles and sex traffickers and all of these kinds of people, and rounding them up and taking them down there. They're missing in society, and the reason is they're taking them down there. One thing that I heard, of course, and y'all probably heard the same thing, is that they took H.W. Bush and also McCain, and also heard today that George, the boy, has been designated as dying next for treasonous work. I don't know if this is true or not, but that's, it came from some pretty good sources. And they gave him an option of dying with honor or dying without honor. If he flipped, which means he started telling everything he knows, and he did. That's what happened. He did, according to the sources. They said he flipped on his dad. He flipped on a bunch of other folks, too. And when I say flip, I mean, that means he told what happened and how they did it and all this kind of stuff. Also, there was a notebook found up in Connecticut at a motel or a hotel up there that had a bunch of names in it from a CEO from a company up there that was involved with Hillary, Bill, the Podesta brothers, and many, many others, Hollywood celebrities. It's a 95-page book of telephone numbers, appointment times, and what they did. And it is horrendous, the things that these people have been doing. And we're going to see here. And something else that I heard was let me see here if he started yet. No. Something else that I heard was that well, what was it I heard? I don't know. There's so much stuff out there now that's going on that it's just hard to keep up with it. It looks like Trump is going to take out the deep state, and we're going to have a lot of the congressmen. They say at least a third of the congressmen are going to be arrested and brought up on charges of anything from treason to fraud to bribery to all kinds of stuff. It just goes to show you, when you don't have any safeguards in your government, what can happen over the years. They've been taking the American taxpayers' money and been stealing it and taking the money and giving it to these elites. That's why you've got trillions of dollars missing from the coffers of the United States. The people that audited the DOD, the Department of Defense, came up and found out. They said there's $21 trillion we can't account for. Where is it? And they couldn't find it. And they said, that's just the start of it. They can't even go where the rest of it went. So they've been stealing money from us for a long time. I don't know if they're running late or what. But all right, we're live. Anyway, we should be able to hear it when they come on. All right, anybody else with some good important information? I think Canada's having their problems up there too, aren't they, Andrew? With Trudeau. People are getting real, well, they are. The people up there are getting about like they are in France. They're getting ready to start taking it to the streets, they say. They're tired of it.
I have a feeling a lot of the Western countries are, yeah, have a lot of financial problems right now. And it's all kind of being hidden. I know the United States is, the Social Security is not there. They robbed that. That's going to fall pretty soon. So, and I think Canada, they were trying to go on that fiat money system too. They've been going on that for a while. And there was a girl asking about that, made common sense, you know, some young girl about, you know, hey, you know, basically you can't create money out of thin air, which is what they've been doing also to a degree. So all these Western countries are running on fumes, you know, basically. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors to keep things going, I think, right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a terrible thing that they've been doing to the American people. That's been going on since at least 1812. Okay, what I'm doing, okay, this looks like the live stream fixing to start. Maybe. But let me ask a question. What do y'all think about this fence down there they want to put in? Trump's wanting to put in this wall.
I'm surprised nobody's argued about the color.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. You know, when did you hear what Byron Searles' word from the Lord said? The Lord said that the United States is a laughing stock because the people can't figure out what gender they are. You got this transgender garbage going out there. It's crazy. That's where the left is. You know, they go out there and they start trouble. I don't understand that. That's just a way to control people.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead.
If I might start rambling or whatever, but so if it comes on, flag me or whatever, or cut me off or whatever. All right.
Okay. Yes, sir.
One thing I would, for the last week or so, I've been listening to a website. And the name of that website is, should have brought it up, is there's a message, a series of messages on this, and it's on YouTube, and it's Know Your Enemy is the name of it. It's from the Fuel Project. Maybe I will click a link into.
All right, hold on. He's coming. Ahead. Hang on.
And we have no way to promptly return them back home to their country. America proudly welcomes millions of lawful immigrants who enrich our society and contribute to our nation. But all Americans are hurt by uncontrolled, illegal migration. It strains public resources and drives down jobs and wages. Among those hardest hit are African Americans and Hispanic Americans. Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Every week, 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone, 90% of which floods across from our southern border. More Americans will die from drugs this year than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. In the last 2 years, ICE officers made 266,000 arrests of aliens with criminal records, including those charged or convicted of 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent killings. Over the years, thousands of Americans have been brutally killed by those who illegally entered our country, and thousands more lives will be lost if we don't act right now. This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul. Last month, 20,000 migrant children were illegally brought into the United States, a dramatic increase. These children are used as human pawns by vicious coyotes and ruthless gangs. One in three women are sexually assaulted on the dangerous trek up through Mexico. Women and children are the biggest victims, by far, of our broken system. This is the tragic reality of illegal immigration on our southern border. This is the cycle of human suffering that I am determined to end. My administration has presented Congress with a detailed proposal to secure the border and stop the criminal gangs, drug smugglers, and human traffickers. It's a tremendous problem. Our proposal was developed by law enforcement professionals and border agents at the Department of Homeland Security. These are the resources they have requested to properly perform their mission and keep America safe, in fact, safer than ever before. The proposal from Homeland Security includes cutting-edge technology for detecting drugs, weapons, illegal contraband, and many other things. We have requested more agents, immigration judges, and bed space to process the sharp rise in unlawful migration fueled by our very strong economy. Our plan also contains an urgent request for humanitarian assistance and medical support. Furthermore, we have asked Congress to close border security loopholes so that illegal immigrant children can be safely and humanely returned back home. Finally, as part of an overall approach to border security, law enforcement professionals have requested $5.7 billion for a physical barrier. At the request of Democrats, it will be a steel barrier rather than a concrete wall. This barrier is absolutely critical to border security. It's also what our professionals at the border want and need. This is just common sense. The border wall would very quickly pay for itself. The cost of illegal drugs exceeds $500 billion a year, vastly more than the $5.7 billion we have requested from Congress. The wall will also be paid for indirectly by the great new trade deal we have made with Mexico. Senator Chuck Schumer, who you will be hearing from later tonight, has repeatedly supported a physical barrier in the past, along with many other Democrats. They changed their mind only after I was elected president. Democrats in Congress have refused to acknowledge the crisis, and they have refused to provide our brave border agents with the tools they desperately need to protect our families and our nation. The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security. My administration is doing everything in our power to help those impacted by the situation. But the only solution is for Democrats to pass a spending bill that defends our borders and reopens the government. This situation could be solved in a 45-minute meeting. I have invited congressional leadership to the White House tomorrow to get this done. Hopefully, we can rise above partisan politics in order to support national security. Some have suggested a barrier is immoral. Then why do wealthy politicians build walls, fences, and gates around their homes? They don't build walls because they hate the people on the outside, but because they love the people on the inside. The only thing that is immoral is the politicians to do nothing and continue to allow more innocent people to be so horribly victimized. America's heart broke the day after Christmas when a young police officer in California was savagely murdered in cold blood by an illegal alien who just came across the border. The life of an American hero was stolen by someone who had no right to be in our country. Day after day, precious lives are cut short by those who have violated our borders. In California, an Air Force veteran was raped, murdered, and beaten to death with a hammer by an illegal alien with a long criminal history. In Georgia, an illegal alien was recently charged with murder for killing, beheading, and dismembering his neighbor. In Maryland, MS-13 gang members who arrived in the United States as unaccompanied minors were arrested and charged last year after viciously stabbing and beating a 16-year-old girl. Over the last several years, I've met with dozens of families whose loved ones were stolen by illegal immigration. I've held the hands of the weeping mothers and embraced the grief stricken fathers, so sad, so terrible. I will never forget the pain in their eyes, the tremble in their voices, and the sadness gripping their souls. How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job? For those who refuse to compromise in the name of border security, I would ask, imagine if it was your child, your husband, or your wife whose life was so cruelly shattered and totally broken. To every member of Congress, pass a bill that ends this crisis. To every citizen, call Congress and tell them to finally, after all of these decades, secure our border. This is a choice between right and wrong, justice and injustice. This is about whether we fulfill our sacred duty to the American citizens we serve. When I took the oath of office, I swore to protect our country, and that is what I will always do. So help me God. Thank you and good night.
There you have it, straight from the horse's mouth.
So were they going to live stream that on TV too? Or did they block them, I wonder?
No, it's on live TV, I think. All of the major networks were going to carry it. But they were also going to carry Chuck Schumer at the end of it on a what do they call that? A rebuttal. They'll spin it. They always do. That's okay. Lord's in control. All right. Back to that. You know what? Has anybody else got a word from the Lord? Has anybody else got a word that they want to share?
I've been thinking. Okay. Hopefully it ain't me. But I keep remembering America being referenced to Nineveh, and that fish in an enclosure is where Nineveh, like a one of the old, I'm going to link a couple of the old articles or whatever you call them on the website, but talking about the drawing of a fish inside of an enclosure was the way to signify Ishtar or whatever, the goddess of Nineveh or something like that anyway. But those two articles on UBM's website talk a lot about, they both, I basically just did a study of, or a search for Nineveh in America, or America is Nineveh, and read through those, and both of them referenced Amos 7:7, talking about, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood beside a wall made by a plumb line, and with a plumb line in his hand, he says, what do you see? And basically just talking about how America would be measured and judged, and it was part of a seven-year destruction. And I found on another website a study about the fall of Nineveh and the history, and even like secular historians who had documented the fall and how it had just been wiped off the earth. There was barely any sign left of it. And what a great, awesome city it was for it to be judged. And I thought also about how we've been given as this reprieve, sort of like Jonah coming and telling us to repent. And then some of the men of Nineveh did repent, but then the soldiers in the army, you know, they carried on and eventually were judged. And I guess that's just where I think possibility that we might be, that there's still, you know, there are some men that'll repent and really straighten up and make prepare a way for the Lord. But that patriotic spirit, that hoorah, gung-ho, blood-shedding, whatever it is, that warring spirit, you know, it's got to be straightened out. You know, it's that's not the kingdom of God. So I guess that's all I've got, but I'll link that other article too if anybody else wants to read it.
Okay. Well, that's when you put your trust in a country, in a man or in the country, you're taking yourself out of the armor of God. You're relying on your flesh to keep it going. Go ahead, Dave. You had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, you know, the only place I've been kind of been directed lately is the Lord's getting ready to do a lot of judging, but it's not. It's meant to drive out the apostasy that's in the church. It's meant to separate them from their. Their paganism that's involved in their lives right now with basically we've got this Babylonian system, and it's also a Babylonian church to a degree. He's out there to separate that. That's kind of what I got a little bit lately. I've been getting that, and I've been looking that over, Baal Peor, a lot of that. And it's how that's crept into the church, and that's kind of where the Lord's going. But he's also, one of the things I got the other day, I looked at it just now again, and it was Jeremiah 25:15. I was like, whoa. And it says, for the Lord says, the God of Israel to me, take this cup of wine of wrath in my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send it to drink it. It's like, well, yeah, he's getting ready to turn it up on the whole world here. You know, he's going to start, you know, the whole world's going to start reeling to and fro here. I think we're going to start seeing it more and more. I mean, the Lord's going to start coming. It's going to come in, and it's going to start keep on coming stronger and stronger in waves to get people to repent or run away from him. I'm hoping that, like with David's message, it's going to restore a lot of people back into the kingdom, bring them closer to God, you know, make them start seeking him now even more. And especially our loved ones that we pray for. But I know everything I've kind of getting a feel for here is, you know, we got to stay our course. I mean, we've got to continue to be the salt and the light, because these are going to be the times where there's all this cup of wrath, and he's going to make the nations kind of start reel back and forth, it says. And we're going to be seeing it. And he also said in here, just prior to that, Luke 22:28, he says, if you have stayed with me in my trials, and he says, I will assign you as my father assigned to me, a kingdom that you may eat and drink at my table, my kingdom, and sit on thrones and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's basically saying, you know, the trials I'm going through and went through, you're going to go through and be with me. These are my trials also that you're going to be going through, and all this stuff here that's going to be going on. But, you know, we got to stay the course, because we're the we're chosen out, and we're going to be with the Lord to go through these times, and these are his trials also, and we're sharing these trials with him, because he's, you know, Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. These are his trials as much as they are ours. So that's kind of where I'm kind of getting the feel for things here. I mean, things are going to start shaking. Things are going to start shaking. The Lord's getting ready to move strong. We've been wanting to see the Lord move strong for a long time, and we're going to see it. But at the same time, they're going to be a trial, and we're going to be part of it. He says it's his trials too. So,
Amen. Willie, did you have something?
I was just thinking about the unity of the, I guess they call it the deep state or the far left or whatever you call them, you know, and how much they accomplish in such a short time. And I read that scripture where it says, you know, be subject one to another. And that brought me to that scripture that says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror or glass, it says in some other translations. He beholds himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And then that made me think of Azusa Street, you know. These wicked men, wicked women, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pick on them. I'm just saying, when they unified themselves, they walked as one man, you know, they accomplished such great goals, you know. They did, you know, they subjected themselves one to another, you know, that they should not forget, you know, what manner of man they were, you know. And so they brought up this huge uproar, whites against blacks, you know, JBLE against the church, and, you know, men against women, you know, monuments unto Satan, you know, just all these things, you know, they were successfully able to pull off. And then I think about the body of Christ, you know, how important that statement really is. You know, be subject one to another, you know. And you would think it's a single statement for just a man to look in the mirror and, you know, if he's a hearer, if he's not a doer, you know, he walks away and forgets what manner of man he was. But if you look at that as the body, you know, you have the church in the United States, not subject one to another. You know, there's the mirror, you know, and they're supposed to see, you know, Christ, right? Supposed to be in the image of God, right? That's what you're talking about, a mirror, when you're looking into a mirror. You want, you're beholding something, you know. As the scripture says, we are the offspring of God in the book of Acts. And I'm just like, man, you know, the enemy has accomplished so much unified and subject to each other. And the church has suffered so much loss by not being subject one to another, you know, and not being unified, you know. And through that, they've forgotten what manner of man, you know, that they are. You know, you got tons of different Christian denominations, you know, but you got these wicked people with one goal, you know, and they're successfully pulling off these accomplishments. One state of mind, you know, and you want to get Christians to have one state of mind as a body. You know, just this one state of mind, be subject one to another, right? So if you, and it after that, it got me to thinking about, you know, there's nothing hid, you know, that shall not be revealed. And what is, you know, it's, when I think about scriptures like that, it says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, you know, part of being subject one to another is through the perfect law of liberty. And you wonder why so many different persecutions against Christians in the state is rising. You know, we're not subject one to another. You know, not as, and I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about those who know. I'm just talking about, you know, we call ourselves, and, you know, Christians, those who call themselves Christians, you know. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. You know, being subject one to another makes us truly blessed indeed. By this shall they know that you are my disciples, by the love you have one toward another. Okay, boy, you know, we're missing a lot of this, you know. And they're not seeing that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not subject to one another. And so we're looking in the mirror, you know, because we're not doers of the word. A doer of the word, you know, makes himself subject one to another. You know, the love of God is manifest, you know, and the world would know that we are, you know, the disciples of Jesus Christ. If any man seemeth to be religious and bright of, you know, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain, you know. And so we have all these different forms of Christianity, you know, that does not bridle the tongue about their opinions. Make us subject one to another, which does not allow us to show the love of God to one another, which causes us to miss out on so great a blessing. But the wicked got one goal. They're unified. They're subject one to another. They got one goal. You know, look how, look at the great chaos they brought this country into, you know. and we can't agree on if Jesus Christ is, you know, the Son of God. You know, we argue about if he's the Son of God, if he's God, you know, if he's, you know, we've divided ourselves over so many things, you know, and then we desire to look in the mirror and, you know, oh, I've, you know, and to think that the reflection is going to be Jesus Christ. You know, the reflection isn't going to be Jesus Christ. It's going to, you know, the lust is going to be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And then, you know, you wonder where these things come from. You know, that simple lack of subjection one to another, that simple lack of unity, in which those things which are done in secret in us through Jesus Christ, you know, might be manifested. You know, I might be rambling, forgive me, but I was just these thoughts and these scriptures came up into my mind. And I think it's just I think it's a very fearful thing to trust in the nation that you're living in, you know. And because when that happens, you lose, you know, that the sight of what manner of man you are. And American, you know, Christianity in America has lost great sight, you know, of what was in the mirror, what's supposed to be in the mirror, you know. What true power comes from being subject one to another. There's supposed to be a lot of power, a lot of power. You know, it says this person shall be blessed. It says a person shall be blessed in his doings. where is it? I lost track of that scripture. But yeah, it says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Wherever two or three, touching together in agreement, you know, asking anything, he shall receive the thing that he asks. You know, but this country has Christians so perfectly divided, you know, they're not receiving too much of anything he asks for. They can't even recognize each other, you know, and let alone get along with each other or have any sense of unity whatsoever. So as soon as the right person steps in the office, that man suddenly becomes God. And that's crazy. And you wonder why, you know, the article you read a few minutes ago, you know, it had such a dire judgment to it. You know, it's absolutely, it's crazy. It's madness. You know, but that's all I got to say.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Dave.
I just wanted to say one more thing I found kind of interesting. You know, every day when I get up, I try to read the scriptures. I do. And then, but I have my e-sort set up to give me just a random scripture, and I just take it from the Lord and take his leading with that. 2018, the beginning of 2018, he sent me to 1 Kings 18. The last scripture passage I got to again at the end of 2018 was 1 Kings 18. First and the last places he took me, you know, as far as beginning and end cap, my whole scripture verses for the whole year started in Kings, 1 Kings 18, and in Kings, 1 18. And it's all about Elisha and him going, you know, toe to toe with prophets of Yeshua and prophets of Baal, and then coming to terms with Ahaz and Jezebel there to a degree, getting that going. So, I mean, it was that's the Lord, man. He's coming out after the he's coming out after all this apostate Christianity, and he's getting his Elijah, his man-child ready. You know, that was his statement. Pretty clear to me on that. That's, this is coming. So,
amen. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry about not coming right back to you. I just now thought about that while Dave was talking.
It's okay. I go with the flow here. It's interesting. I went back, I guess. I was thinking, I guess, in terms of logic, what we are, say, looking to see Trump do, obviously he's being used as a hand of God and a tool here in this situation. And I just logically looking at what has to happen. It, let's just say in something as shutting the government down or declaring martial law and cleaning house, so to speak. Something like that would just it would so shatter our existing structure right now, even though it needs to happen, that things would never come back the way they are now in existence now. And I'm talking about society or the way things are happening. And because that would be such a major shift or major trauma on the mindset of the world, really, something like that, the only way that that type of situation would stand the possibility of being successful is if there was an extreme reason for the need for that to happen. In other words, if there was a martial law declared, it's usually in response to a major national catastrophe of some sort that happens in order, and again, in that environment, in that situation, many things happen. But there is a cover for the president to function in that and to come back from that type of situation. There's a cover. And so I guess I know that the deep state uses that concept all the time in their false flag type of creations, and it's simply their way of manipulating the masses, shall we say, even in a negative way. But what we're looking, or at least it appears that it is on the horizon in this martial law situation, is that the only way that Trump would be able to survive that type of situation is if there was an extreme need and an extreme reason for it. Otherwise, the deep state, what's left of it, will come back and just tear him to pieces, or tear this country to pieces. And I was thinking about that last week, I came back to this, the scripture popped into my mind related to Ezekiel 36. And this is the time when God is creating a new heart. He's giving his people a new heart, transforming in these end days, transforming a people, raising a people out of the graves. And at the very end, matter of fact, I just wanted to stop and go back to read this particular scripture here, because it reminded me of what Willie was saying, and that is the dividing of God's people and throughout the world and even in the United States, the dividing, that we're not unified. And because of that, there's just all kinds of contamination and deception unleashed in the world, et cetera, and in the United States, and it all trickles down to our lives. And I was looking in Ezekiel 36, when the Lord is saying, "Son of man," and he's saying, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their land, their own land, they defiled it by their way and by their doings. Their way before me was an uncleanness as the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. And on that point there, I think David made I was listening to the message, Sunday's message, I believe, and he made a point of that. But I asked the Lord a couple weeks ago when I was studying in this, what do you mean by that, the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity? I think David said something about the blood washing away the seed of the word or whatever, which I thought was very good. But the Lord gave me the thought of the cyclical nature of the situation, and meaning, and the only thing I could think is apostate Christianity, where they are stuck in the mode of constant confession, repentance, failure, confession, repentance, failure, confession, repentance, failure, ba 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 ba, all the way through. That's their constant. That's the constant life, and the and then all of the deceptions and deviations of that in the Catholic version, and various other different deceptions along the way related to that whole process. The whole point of never getting through that growth period and entering into the rest and the new life of the resurrection that the Lord has given us. But the thing that hit me is in verse 18, he said, wherefore, because of this, because they have defiled the land in their doings, I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood which they have poured out upon the land, and because of they have defiled it with their idols. The only thing I